one.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
The month of October just keeps getting better every week. With the World Series, NFL, college football, NBA, NHL, this is truly the greatest time of the year for all the passionate, diehard sports fans out there. And there's only one place to get in on all the action, betonline.ag. And don't wait any longer. Use promo code PODCAST1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's PODCAST1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. And welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here with an amazing guest today. I've been hanging out at SEMA all week. I had the Off-Road Hall of Fame banquet. Actually just did some TV for the Lucas Oil Midwest Short Course League, the Crannon episodes with the Crannon World Cup. So lots of fun this week. It has been slam-packed. But stoked to have this interview with my good friend Matt DeAndrea. You know him from Adam Carolla's CarCast, also kind of cultivates Adam Carolla's car collection. He's also part of the Shift and Steer podcast. He does CarCast a couple times a week, once with Bill Goldberg and once with Carolla. And I don't know, man, Matt DeAndrea, just a good dude, major, major gearhead. And always fun talking cars with him, which is the case today. So definitely going to be a good one with Matt DeAndrea. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Make sure and go over to iTunes. Subscribe to Project Action. Hit that subscribe button. Helps me out and helps you out to get the shows quicker as soon as they drop. And when you're there, please leave a rating and a review. And if you leave a review, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review. And when I see it, I will follow you back on social media. My promise to you. Also got another show called the Down and Dirty Radio Show. It drops on Tuesdays. It's all motorsports content. Make sure and check that out. And same thing, subscribe over there on iTunes and leave a rating or review. If you want to follow me on social media, it's at JimBeaver15 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also have a second account on Instagram. It's at Down and Dirty Show. And also, we have a Facebook group with over 1,000, I think over 1,100 members now. It's called Jim Beaver's Action Motorsports Discussion. Talk all things cars and racing and stuff like that. So good stuff. Make sure and check that out. And my website, downanddirtyshow.com, where we drop all of our motorsports content. Next couple of weeks, obviously Matt DeAndrea this week here on Project Action. Next week, we've got my good friend AJ Buckley. You know him from the new TV show SEAL Team. He is one of the leads in the show SEAL Team. So going to be fun with AJ Buckley next week. And then following that, we've got a legend. That is right, Miss Tori Wilson. You know her from WWE. She was, I don't know, man, she had some epic battles there with Trish Stratus, Lita. I mean, vintage female wrestler. I don't want to say vintage, man. She's still in her prime, but retired from wrestling. Now she's in the fitness industry. But she came back for the pay-per-view WWE Evolution last week. We are going to have Tori Wilson on the show here in about 2-3 weeks as well. So a couple of great guests lining up, so make sure and check those out. Also had a great Halloween podcast for the Down and Dirty Radio Show we did right live at SEMA from the show floor with Vision Wheel. Rob McCracken, Keegan Kincaid, Tiffany Stone joined me, Sam Rady from Car Throttle. Also threw in a Halloween interview, spooky Halloween interview with paranormal expert Dave Schrader. You guys know him from, Darkness Radio, Darkness Dave. But anyways, great interview with him. So make sure and check out Down and Dirty Radio Show this week as well for that show. It's also on the Podcast One Network. So, thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for joining me. Going to be a fun show today with Mr. Matt DeAndrea. But before we get to that, I got to tell you about a few of our amazing, and I said amazing, partners here on Podcast One. One of those is our good friends over there at Geico. You know, and everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you listening here could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And also, we've got a new partner here. And this is one that I actually use. It's our good friends at Pluto TV. They're the leading free streaming television service with over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit card is needed, no sign up. Pluto TV is easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. And what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today. Over 100 channels. I mean, get that. You know, everybody's talking about pulling the plug, right? Cut the cord. You know what? Pluto TV is your way to do that. I am just telling you, I use it, and it has changed the way that I watch TV. And you can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere you stream. So definitely check out our friends there at Pluto TV. And, you know, we got our good friends at TrueCar. And if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what's it actually mean? And the same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something to you. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. That is right, before you get there. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the ones you want, all from the comfort of your home. And you know what? The true price is a great price. And you know how you know that? Well, it's because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And, you know, we got to talk about AMSOIL. You know the importance of using a good synthetic oil in all your power sports equipment, but what about your daily driver? Today's downsized turbocharged engines run hotter and create more engine-damaging contaminants than ever before. Yesterday's motor oil doesn't even cut it in today's engines. That's why you need AMSOIL synthetic motor oil. Teams in Monster Energy Supercross, AMSOIL Championship Snowcross, and more rely on AMSOIL synthetic motor oil to protect their engines on the track and in the haulers that get them to the races, and so should you. AMSOIL Signature Series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by leading industry standards. Provides the next level protection today's demanding engines need to keep them running for years. Go to AMSOIL.com/beaver to find out how AMSOIL synthetic motor oil keeps your vehicle running great tomorrow. Thank you for the continued support, AMSOIL. And, you know, title sponsors of Podcast One Sportsnet are our good friends at betonline.ag. And, you know, the month of October just keeps getting better every week. World Series, NFL, college football, NBA, NHL, it's truly the greatest time of the year for all the passionate diehard sports fans out there. And there's only one place to get in on all the action, and that is betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code PODCAST1 and get 50% sign-up bonus today. That is PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Already drama in L.A. with the Lakers, Toronto and Denver off the hot start, Alabama and the Rams dominating the football world, and Nashville starting very strong in hockey. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. All right, and now we are going to roll right into this amazing interview with my man, Matt DeAndrea. I'd like to welcome my guest this week to the show, Motorator Matt DeAndrea. Matt, you and I have been trying to catch up for I don't know how long, probably since I went on CarCast with you and Adam a year, 2 years ago at this point, year and a half ago. But I got to say, I do a lot of podcasts every week, and I'm at a lot of events every week, and I think the one guy that can run neck and neck with what I do is you. So if that puts into perspective to listeners, I think you and I just crisscross the country back and forth.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, we do quite a bit. I don't know, it's just been like the second half of the year always comes in with a lot of travel, lots of good events. We went to Goodwood Festival of Speed in the UK. We just went to Monterey Car Week, the Pebble Beach, the Rolex Historic Vintage Racing. We just went to Rennsport like a week or two ago. I'm not even sure what day it is, but it feels like it was just last weekend, but maybe 2 weekends ago, big Porsche event. And then, you know, we're not slowing down, right? We've got
SEMA coming up.
We got SEMA coming up. Before SEMA this week, I'm driving a Lexus in Texas for a couple days, and then to come back, and then SEMA. It's pretty hectic. But most of what I do is on the asphalt, and you do so much good stuff in the dirt.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. We kind of offset each other, right? You know what I mean? I'm the dirt guy. You're yeah. The baseball guy. That being said, I have started doing a little bit more stuff in the asphalt side of things. But I thought, I don't know how far we want to go back this year, but I know one thing that caught my eye, Indy 500 this year. I was there, I think, probably a week before you were there. But I know one of your guys is there. One of Adam's cars, a Newman car, was out. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting to see it. Here I am like, wow, front and center. Here is, you know, this car that I saw in the collection you guys have over there, man. That had to have been pretty special for you guys.
Yeah. So what happened there is you've been to our studio. You've been on the podcast before. I do CarCast with Adam Carolla. And I do a once a week with Goldberg as well, the wrestler, actor. So we do CarCast twice a week now, every Wednesdays with Goldberg, every Fridays with Adam Carolla. And Adam has a documentary film division that he owns at his company as well. And we did Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, the great documentary about Paul Newman's racing career. We did the 24-hour war, which is Ford versus Ferrari Le Mans in the 1960s. Both of those are out. I think you can get them on Amazon Prime, but they're definitely at chassis.com, C-H-A-S-S-Y. Chassis is our website. So what you're talking about is we have a documentary coming out called Uppity. It's about Willie T. Ribbs. Willie T. Ribbs is this fantastic guy. He was the first black racing driver to qualify for the Indy 500. And it's this great story about him and just sort of all the roadblocks and issues he had. There's money and race and so many things just kind of getting in his way, and he just made it happen. So at the Indy 500, we did like a feature screening event. Willie T. Ribbs was there with us. Of course, Adam Carolla was there. Nate Adams, who produces the films for us. We were all there, and we were invited to the Indy 500. So there was a screening event, and that's what you're talking about. Is the car, I think, first showed up at the screening event. We showed the film, and then the car was at the Indy 500, and they took such great care of us. I've never been to the Indy 500 before, so to be able to go in and just see everything kind of firsthand and walk out onto the bricks, and Adam went in one of the pace cars. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of those things, you know, in India, you know, I've been to a lot of racetracks and a lot of places like that, you know, and I will say it's not the most modern racetrack you'll go to, but you walk in and you just feel like there's something special there. Like there's just a feeling you get when you walk and you look around, and I can't explain it, but it's just a place is magical, man.
It is amazing. There's planes flying over, just all, you know, and militaries everywhere. They're all guests of the event. It's not easy to get into. I mean, you got to, like, we had a car service, you know, that Indy set up to take us, and that still takes forever, even with police escorts and everything. Like, it just takes forever to kind of get in there. You really have to plan ahead, but I've just never seen so many people in one place in my life. It was amazing to see.
Yeah, it's just packed. Packed. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, and talking about the collection, I know stuff comes and goes. I'm just trying to fast forward here. I don't even want to say fast forward, but I mean, you know, you had Indy 500. I know another one of the marquee ones. I haven't actually been there. I remember we talked about it quite a bit when I was on CarCast with you and Adam, but Goodwood, you guys went back to Goodwood again this year. And that, for people that haven't ever been or don't know what Goodwood is, I mean, that's I would say that's one of the biggest automotive events in the world annually, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is. I think it's something about 150,000 people show up to Goodwood, and there's several Goodwood events. So Goodwood is at the Goodwood Estate that the Duke of Richmond owns. It's in Chichester, UK. I want to say it's like about an hour and a half or so away from Heathrow Airport. And this past year we went, we did the Festival of Speed, which is the hill climb event. Yeah. It was the 70th anniversary of Porsche. So part of the theme, well, I guess the main thing was Porsche. So they wanted to curate a bunch of cars there. So very graciously, the Duke of Richmond offered to fly our Porsche 935 to the UK. We were going to boat it over, but it takes like 6 weeks or something. And we didn't have time because we had the car committed to another event. He's like, fine, I'll just fly it out here. So he flew the car there and home, which was interesting.
Wow.
And then we flew after it and went to the event. And the Festival of Speed is this great combination of vintage cars and new cars and just the best curated cars in the world. Guys, this is like 2 weeks after Le Mans. So the cars that run Le Mans often show up and then do the hill climb. So the Porsche, the Flying Pig or the Pink Pig that won its class at Le Mans, it showed up to do the hill climb. Bugs and everything still on it from Le Mans. As a matter of fact, now that's part of the identity of the car. So they don't even wash the car, but they clear wrap. They do the clear bra. They wrap the whole car, bugs, dirt, everything. So it just looks like the Le Mans car forever. And that showed up there. And then they do the hill climb. And Adam ran his Porsche 935, which is, I don't remember if you saw the car when you came over. This is Paul Newman's 1979 Porsche 935. Won first in its class at Le Mans, second overall. And then it went on to be the Apple computer Bobby Rahal car and Brian Redman. And just like, it just has more history and more racing miles than any Porsche 935 ever. We actually have three diecast models of this car of three different liveries because each life of this car was so popular that they just kept making more toys out of it. So now we got a bunch of toys in our shop. But we have this car. It's currently in the Paul Newman Le Mans winning livery, the red car with the Hawaiian Tropic. So Adam raced that up the hill climb. We brought it back in one piece. And my co-host Goldberg from CarCast, he drove like one of Mike Skinner's NASCAR Toyota trucks. Unfortunately, he hit the hay bales and screwed up a truck. But it was great to have him out there as well. Yeah. Have you gone out to the hill climb? Have you gone to the festival?
No, I have. And it was one of those, I was actually going to go this year. And then I got this nice TV contract, which, you never want to turn down. But I ended up having some conflicts during, Goodwood. But I literally, it was planned to go out there and spend, spend the entire time for the festival. And then this year I got the call that you want to get, which meant I didn't get to go to Goodwood. So
you don't have to brag about TV deal.
No,
we
no,
know
no.
what's going on.
But no, seriously, it's one of those, like, I want to go out there. I mean, it's like every year I've got friends that go, and you guys have told me, like, you have to be there, and it's one of those, like, I mean, as a car guy, I feel like I'm my bucket list isn't complete yet.
Well, I'll tell you, I think you'll like the Festival of Speed because of what you're into. My favorite event actually is the Goodwood Revival, which is the vintage race. And that's when you're seeing, $70 million Ferrari 250 GTOs out there, just guys racing them like they stole them. Original Cobras, original Daytona Coupes, like the most expensive vintage racing cars in the world are all out there. And they're spinning around in the grass and they're trading paint. Like, you would never believe the way these guys drive these cars. And everybody that goes to the event kind of has to dress up like period correct.
Yeah.
So you get your tweed jacket and your newspaper boy hat and you have some fun. You can wear that stuff or you can wear like period correct, like crew stuff, like, like your jumpsuit overalls that guys might've been wearing where they're working on the cars. So that's a good event, but I think it's early in the year. I don't know, like June or July or something. And then the festival, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe we went a few months ago, and then the revival is in September, which we weren't able to go to. But anyway, the Festival of Speed, the hill climb. As everybody's doing the hill climb, there's like a whole rally racing thing going off in the trees that I haven't even got to see. As you're just taking the bus, like up and down up the hill climb, just to kind of see the track, you could see those guys off in the distance flying through the air in their rally cars. So there's a whole nother thing going on in the Festival of Speed that I haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, well, and see, and that's how I kind of got tied in. So my good friend Steve Rimmer, who owns Dirtfish Rally School, he's got a shop in the UK, and then obviously he's got, you know, some garages and stuff like that here in Seattle. But he keeps I guess he would kind of have a collection similar to Adam does, but it would be on the rally side of things. So he's got like vintage Colin McRae cars and some of my most iconic rally cars, you know, ever. I mean, multi-million dollar vintage rally cars. And so he brings them out for what you're talking about, you know, and it's a once a year he brings them, they get them all tuned up. He's got a guy that just, you know, handles his collection, and he goes and just has fun. And sometimes, like, he gets, you know, these ex-World Rally champions to come back and drive their cars in this rally race, you know, that they haven't driven in, say, two decades, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, like that whole rally side of things, you know, I know they've got that going on there too. And that, I mean, it's such a massive event.
How great is it now that all of this stuff is growing and growing, and that we're able to, you know, people are go out and drive their cars and participate, and everybody can go out and see these things and hear them and smell them, and it just keeps growing every year. Like I said, Goodwood's pulling 150,000 people. We just went to Rennsport, and Rennsport broke the record of the amount of people at Laguna Seca for any event for the past, I don't know, however many years, something like 81,000 plus people showed up at Rennsport just as spectators.
That's
which
crazy.
Is amazing.
Just as spectators. Like, I mean, you would think it would be, you know, it would be people, you know, car owners and things like that would go, but just spectators is crazy.
When we go to the Rolex Historics, over 1,000 cars submit an application to race during the vintage race, and they cap it at 550 each year. Rennsport had about 250 cars racing this year. And so they had half as many as the Rolex Historics, but they still managed to pull about 5,000 or 6,000 extra people. Cause I think Rolex Historics is like 75,000 people in attendance. And Rennsport had 81,000 people in attendance. Like, it just keeps growing. Vintage racing and all this motorsport racing stuff that we love. Oh, by the way, Rennsport, you know, Porsche 935s, you know, Porsche 906s, just 914 6s, just like the Le Mans car, the prototypes, you know, everything old and new, the first Porsche ever, everything is there. You don't even need to really like Porsches just to go there and check out all the cool race cars. It was a great event.
That's insane. That is insane. Well, I want to go back to, you mentioned Bill Goldberg. And geez, who doesn't know who Goldberg is at this point? You know what I mean? we saw him on TV as a pro wrestler for years, but I know he's a massive car guy, and he's got into, you know, a lot of different things. But I know you and I talked a while back. I know you guys were trying to expand CarCast and things like that. And so you were looking for another, you know, car guy, you know what I mean, to come in. And how did that all get put together with Goldberg? Because you guys made that announcement. I'm like, wow, that's like a perfect fit for that show.
Yeah, so the show that I do with Adam is definitely our flagship show. I love it, and we've talked so much about the vintage racing and Adam's great car collection, 10 Paul Newman race cars, the Datsuns, the Nissans, I wanted to kind of grow this a little bit and talk a little bit more about the muscle car world, get a little bit more into some of the modern new car buying aspects of things. So I had been friends with Goldberg for years. We met, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago on a show called Garage Mahal. I think it was on DIY channel, and he was hosting and overhauling garages. And I was in an episode and met Goldberg through that. And we just stayed friends ever since. And we've always been kind of looking for a project together. We went down the road on a couple things and some TV pitches and stuff. And I said, you know what, let's do the podcast. It's something we can do on our own. It's something that we can control, and we can try to make it, you know, but it's a big commitment. As you know, I mean, you got to get in there every week, and you got to do something like pretty much every single week. You got to do it. We worked it out. So we put some stuff together. We went out and we pitched our, you know, we pitched podcast one, we pitched our advertisers and made it work. And it's been fantastic. Our numbers are great. People seem to like the show. It is a little bit different spin on what we've been doing with CarCast. But now the two episodes with Adam and with Goldberg, I think, really kind of fill the void that I was looking to fill. You know, Goldberg calls in a lot. He doesn't live in L.A. He comes to the studio when he can, when he can. It's been great. We just went to, he and I did a live show in Michigan. We did CarCast Live at Roadkill Nights, the event in Michigan during the Woodward Dream Cruise, like the weekend before.
Okay.
And then we all got in a bunch of Dodge Hellcats and we did this, this drag race. It was me and it was Goldberg and it was Freiberger and Finnegan from Hot Rod and Richard Rawlings and Christy Lee and, and Leah Pritchett and Hagen,
awesome.
The drag racers. And we just started drag racing Hellcats down Woodward Avenue. Very happy to say, even though it's called the Roadkill event and Finnegan and Freiberger were there, they did not come home with the trophy, my friend. Our guy, Mr. Goldberg, beat everybody and brought the virtual trophy to the home, to the offices of CarCast. So we're very proud about that. He won, he beat everybody, and it was great.
That is awesome. You know, it's funny you mentioned Matt Hagen, and I've never interviewed the guy, but I've met him a few times. You want to talk about a guy that looks like a pro wrestler. Like, I'm sure you have him and Goldberg side by side. I mean, that guy, most race car drivers are small, little guys, you know, cut, you know, you think of Formula Car.
Oh,
drivers.
Yeah.
Hagen, I mean, this guy, you don't want to go into a dark alley against him because that guy will body slam you.
I'm telling you, Hagen and Goldberg, between those guys, that's an expensive steak dinner. Those guys, I'm telling you, those guys eat a lot of protein.
Yeah, you're not
that's
kidding.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was a great event. And listen, Goldberg's a car guy. That guy's got like a 22 car garage that he like built in his house. It's full of great muscle cars. He's restoring his lawman Mustang that you can pretty much hear about on our show and follow along on that. He's got a couple Dodge cars. He's got a Demon, and he's got two Demons. One he drives and one he collects. And he's got a Hellcat, that's all tricked out, and it's going to debut at SEMA, I think, in the Magnaflow booth. So we've got a Hellcat coming there as well. Which is going to be just turned up a notch, you know, the even bigger brakes and even more power and louder exhaust. It's the Goldberg version of a Hellcat. It's exactly what you expect from him, you know. So there's definitely a lot. There's definitely a lot going on there. I think you're gonna have some fun listening to the show.
Yeah, a Hellcat would be normal for normal people. Hellcat would be enough for Goldberg. It's just not quite there yet, right?
No. This is definitely being turned up quite a bit. This car, and of course, his Demon, but he's also got a Charger Hellcat as well, which is kind of like his daily driver. But he runs around with drag selects on it.
Well, I gotta ask you, talking about cars though, personal cars, your Mustang, last time I was there, you had some pretty trick, like one-off, like, I don't know if it was brake ducts you guys were making or something like that. How's your car coming along,
your
Mustang? I mean, because I know that's always, you get done and it's like a work in progress. So it's like, we're going to go and we're going to do more, right? I mean, it's one of those that I think it's a never ending. It's never quite done, right?
Yeah, so it's exactly where you saw it years ago, sitting on the lift in the shop. So unfortunately, that's embarrassing, but that's exactly where it is. I'm sure Adam Kroll is getting frustrated because that car doesn't move. I go in, I do work on it. I'm very happy because I've done pretty much all the work on that car myself. Everything, you know, pretty much built the motor, at least the top end of the motor, degreed the cam, put the suspension on, brakes, transmission, like everything I put on that car. And along the way, I'm like, I got the engine in, I got the accessories on, then I don't like the way the accessories look, so I take them all off and I start doing research, and I got to get compact accessories and a little peanut AC compressor. And then I put all that on and I was like, great, now the supercharger won't blow up because I changed all the front end accessories. So now I got to custom fabricate supercharger bracket. So I made a jig that floats over the engine and allows me to move the supercharger forward, back, and left and right. So I can position it where I want, and now I can fabricate brackets and stuff to get that working. But what you were talking about is, so it's a 93 Ford Mustang Cobra. And in the front of that car, there are 6-inch round fog lights. And what I wanted to do is I have a supercharger, I have a pro charger, and I have twin air-to-air intercoolers. They're like 8-inch by 8-inch boxes. And they're mounted behind the fog light areas. So I took the fog lights out, and we scanned the front of the car, and I'm 3D printing a honeycomb grill that's contoured to the fascia, and that tapers down to a 4-inch pipe and rams air right into the twin intercoolers. So my intercoolers will have 100% efficiency as long as the car is moving. It's almost like putting your thumb over the nozzle of a hose. It goes from a 6-inch tube down to a 4-inch tube, but it completely seals on the intercoolers. There's no, like, if you think about, you guys run a bunch of turbo cars. Yeah. You run that big intercooler on the front of your car behind the front bumper. It's great. It works, but roughly 40% of that intercooler is behind the bumper, and just the top and the bottom kind of peek out through the grill. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to try something a little different. So I have twin intercoolers behind the fog lights with a grill on them that just ram air right into those things.
Things are going to be insane.
But it's all 3D printed and stuff. It's pretty cool.
That's going to be insane.
It's a completely waste of time and money. Like, I don't know why you do that. You just do it because you think it's cool, and you're like, hey, I've got an idea. I'm going to 3D print fog light grills because nobody else has. And then you're like, what is this going to cost? Why am I doing this? It's like, it just becomes a never-ending battle of how we blow money on cars because we think we're smart.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, I'm in the car industry and the UTV industry, and it's no different in the UTV industry. I mean, we take $20,000 Polaris razors that most people would be happy with, and guys drop $100,000 into a razor. Like, it doesn't make sense, but we do it because why not, right?
Yeah. Well, because why not, right? Yeah. It's fun, and you write that down on any piece of paper, and everyone would think you're insane. Like, you're a crazy person. You bought a what? What's a razor? You put $100,000 into it? What were you thinking? I don't know. But it makes me happy, and I love it. Yeah. Like, yeah, but it's $100,000. What are you doing? They're like, I don't know. It's just where we are.
Yeah. My last race build it was the same way. It's like, yeah, well, we don't want that dash. We need a carbon fiber dash. I got people looking at me, this is a razor. Why do you need a carbon fiber dash in a razor? I'm like, well, why don't you want one in one? You know?
Right. Yeah. If they're out there, people will want them.
Yeah.
I will.
Oh, man. So, so we were talking. I mean, what's next for you? Obviously, we got SEMA coming up. I know you guys have you talked about Goldberg's car, but I know the last couple of years, you and Adam stay really busy at SEMA cranking out the podcast too, right?
Yeah. So we're doing something with Castrol this year. My other show that I do called Shift and Steer – that's the other podcast. We're also on Podcast One Network, shiftandsteer.com. And I do that with Brad Fanshaw. He used to run Boyd Coddington's company, and he owns Bond Speed Wheels. His business partner is Michael Anthony from Van Halen and The Circle and all these great bands. They're just great car guys. He's won all these design awards, GM and Ford. So I got together with Brad and Aaron Hagar, who just a great hot rodder. He's Sammy Hagar's son. He's a great hot rodder, great designer, great painter. And he loves rat rods and all kinds of crazy stuff. I think he's got a welding show, Torchmate welding show or something on YouTube. So I got with those guys and we started Shift and Steer a few years ago. And Shift and Steer, we will be doing live from the Magnaflow booth at SEMA each day. I don't have it locked in yet, but it'll be like once a day for an hour. We'll do Shift and Steer there. So and then I run around basically like booth to booth with one of my producers from CarCast, and we do like a dozen or so interviews of just kind of what's new at SEMA. What are some of the new products and what's the new markets and how are people doing? And it's just nonstop, just getting content, running around, getting interviews for both CarCast and Shift and Steer.
Yeah, it's nonstop, right? So it's crazy. And I think there's very few people, a lot of people want to do one podcast and then, you know, they do maybe an hour a week or something like that. And, you know, with somebody like you or me, like when you've got multiple shows and things like that, and some of them I take multiple guests on, like you said, you're always, I've got a portable mic that I keep in my backpack and that thing just sits in there because you never know when you're going to run into somebody and you're always just running around, like you said, gathering interviews, gathering content, like, you know, to keep people interested, you got to be a busy guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Except I don't keep a microphone in my back pocket. I keep my producer, Chris.
Yeah.
But he's little anyway, so it's fine.
Too funny, man.
Yeah, he does. He goes out to see him with us, and he's got so much work to do because we think about how much we do as doing the podcast, but let's not forget the guys behind the scenes because especially during live shows and stuff, Chris has to go like an hour or two early and check every piece of equipment and test every piece of equipment. And I saw him on top of a semi truck last year running cables because the cables that were set for us, none of it worked. So he's just dude running across back and forth on a semi truck trying to get stuff done. And then, you know, fortunately for me, I'm able to kind of walk in and do the show, and he's got everything prepared for me. He's a little rock star.
Yeah, his name's Chris, right?
Yeah, Chris.
You know, there's something about Chris's because my guy is named Chris too, and he's out of Boston, but I fly him out to events and things like that. But people go to the website, they go to my social media, and they're like, you know, they're like, man, you're always busy. How do you write this stuff? How do you get? And I'm like, yeah, that's Chris. Like, there's something about guys named Chris in this business, I think, right?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So yeah, you know, and by the way, when he's not doing my show just twice a week, he produces the Adam Carolla show every day, 5 days a week.
That's something that's a box I don't want to open as a daily show. Like, I'm busy enough, like, and I've thought about it, but I'm like, to do a daily show, and I know what Adam does. I mean, not only his daily show, but he's got, you know, he's got CarCast he does with you once a week. He's got like a home improvement show, right? I mean, he's got something. Doesn't he do something with Dr. Drew? Like, he is so, I don't even want to go down that, you know, that rabbit hole that Adam's in.
Nobody does that stuff more or better than he does. I really don't fully understand how he does it, but he gets it done. You're right. Yeah. Adam Carolla show 5 days a week. CarCast, Ace on the House, Adam and Drew, I think 5 days a week, Reasonable Doubt with Mark Garagos, the law show, and I'm forgetting him. There's more. He's just constantly doing it. And then when he's not doing it, he's on the road or he's at a comedy club or he's just, or, you know, back on the other side of the business producing documentaries and sitting in an editing room. He just works and works and works all the time, you know? And then, you know, they buy cars.
Yeah,
have fun. We try to
see that, and I think that's what it, at the end of the day, right? Why do we all work so hard so we can afford our car habit?
Yeah. But if you're like me, it's like you're running around doing all this stuff, and my car's been sitting on Adam's lift for years because I don't have time to get over there and work on it.
Yeah, that's that's me. Polaris sent me a brand new Turbo S. You know, it's the model everybody wants, and you know, and I'm supposed to do a build on it. Well, the thing got off the semi, you know, and I hope Polaris is listening to this, 3 weeks ago, and it still literally has all the wrap on it, the bubble wrap, and like the tie downs on it, and the cage is still sitting there, like unmounted. Like I just haven't had time to even open that box yet. But I get it. It's like we work so hard to have these fun projects, and then you don't even have time for the fun projects because you're always working. You know, so.
You're like the worst kid on Christmas morning. People give you the gifts and you're like, I don't have time. No. It's great. Thank you. I'll get to it when I get to it. I'm like, come on, tear it open.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see it.
No, that's it. Well, the car has to be done by late January. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I got a little bit of time, but yeah, it's, I don't know. It's
oh
funny.
Yeah. You say that now, but you're going to be scrambling.
Yeah.
You're going to be scrambling.
But
going, gosh,
of-
why did I wait?
But speaking of toys, you just had a new Raptor, right? You were saying you had that in L.A. For what, a week or two or something like that? That's got to be I've driven plenty of Raptors, but I got to tell you, that's just got to be a joy to park in downtown L.A., right?
It is. It's a fun truck. It's not very L.A. friendly, but okay. So in a way, it is. Like in parking garages and compact spots at Whole Foods, you forget about it. You're not going to have, it's not going to happen. But when you're trying to like parallel park and stuff and you're worried about scuffing up like a nice set of rims, not in your Raptor, baby. You just hit the curb, run over it, park wherever you want. And I've been doing that for a week now. Ford sent me a Raptor to test. And what a difference, because a few weeks before that, they sent me the Ford Mustang Bullitt. Actually, I flew to San Francisco, picked up a Bullitt, and drove it to L.A.
Oh, that
would
have been a nice drive.
Spent the week with a car. But yeah, to go from the Bullet to the Raptor was fun for sure. It was it is interesting because I'm not only am I in LA, but I'm basically at the beach in Venice and Santa Monica area. So there's not even like a little bit of off-roading you can do. All you do is you just jump medians and curves and ride through sidewalks and occasionally a neighbor's lawn. And then that's what you try to get away with. But it was fun. It was so much fun. Wow. Yeah. A buddy of mine told me he got a peek at, you know, behind the wheel of a Ranger Raptor that's going to be coming out soon. So I'm going to add that to my list of, you know, can it do Raptor stuff but easier to park? Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, Ford's killing it. I mean, they've got, you know, the Ranger Raptor coming. They got the new Bronco. I know I was just literally reading before we did this interview something on the new Bronco in 2020 might have a 7-speed manual transmission that they're working on potentially as an option or something like that. So, like, Ford's got all kinds of fun stuff coming in the pipe.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we were just talking about that on the show today with myself and Goldberg. We were talking about the Ranger having like a 2.7 liter EcoBoost engine with 300 and something horsepower and maybe 410 pound feet of torque. So a little more than the competitors out there, but yeah, and possibly a 7-speed manual transmission. Of course, it has to be beefy because it's got to back up to potentially a 4-wheel drive system as well. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I like the idea.
Yeah, it'd be fun, man. It's one thing that I did an interview a while back, and I think it was with the people there at CNET Roadshow, and they asked me if there's one thing I could change about the automotive industry right now, what would it be? And I said, stick shifts. They're getting rid of them. I'm like, I want them back. Even, you know, and I even understand, like, in exotic cars, you know, they want paddle shifters and, you know, because it's quicker to shift and things like that. And I'm like, I don't care if I'm in a Ferrari or a Lambo or something. I still want that clutch. Like, I just, there's something about having a clutch and a stick shift there. Like, I get it. Paddle shifters are quicker. It's more streamlined. You know, it's all performance-based. But I'm like, there's something about having a stick and a clutch that I just want, you know?
Yeah, so we were I was doing the show with Goldberg today again, and we were talking about it, and I was basically saying that of all the cars that I've driven, I have never personally owned a car with an automatic transmission. Everything I've owned has been a manual transmission. I don't know, that wasn't really by design. It just sort of started out that way, and then definitely as I got older, it's like, oh, why get the automatic when I can drive the stick? And then it just turned into, I just woke up one day and I was like, I've never owned an automatic. And now I love it. Now I'm going to get screwed, right? Because every car is going to have some sort of paddle shifted, whatever. We're not going to have a manual, like a true, you know, row your gears manual. You know, so now I'm going to have to just, I don't know, drive old cars for the rest of my life. I don't know. It's going to be weird. I guess I can drive a Ranger. Just get a new Ranger with a 7-speed, or the Bronco with a 7-speed, or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I think I've got, I don't know, my three daily drivers right now, an F-350, it only comes with an automatic, then I've got my STI Subaru, it's got a stick, and then I just picked up literally this weekend from a friend, he was looking to offload it, and I got an 07 Mini Cooper Turbo with a stick, and I literally just got it because I'm going to make it into like an autocross car or something like that, but it's got a stick. So it was like, I don't know, I'm like you. I would say I've owned my fair share of automatics, but I've also had my fair share of sticks, and anytime there's a manual transmission option, I go for the manual transmission, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it just seems more fun. And I know people out here say, hey, you know, you sit in traffic all day and in LA, and how do you drive a manual? And I guess the answer is, you know, I just try to plan around it. You know, my older cars, some of those have a really tough clutch and it's not good. But sometimes a lot of these new cars, the clutch isn't bad. I got so used to it. I don't mind driving a manual. No. Besides, if I really hate it, I'll just call Ford and have to borrow a Raptor.
Yeah.
And I'll sit in traffic with that thing.
Well, and I got to tell you, talking about Fords, or at least Ford powered, once in a while I see something pop. And I love your Instagram feed just because it's, you never know who you're going to be with or what cars are going to pop up. But my all-time favorite car is a Pantera, and you posted up a picture of a friend's that's for sale like a week or two back, and I got to tell you, I absolutely jaw-dropped because that thing was absolutely gorgeous. That thing's still for sale. Not that I have the money to buy it, but I just got to ask, have you seen that car, driven it, ridden in it, anything?
Yes, all of the above, and thanks for that. I appreciate you following me on social media. We try to do some pretty wacky stuff out there. But, so a friend has been on my show a few times. He owns a bunch of restaurants out here. He's such a good dude. And, he's selling a few cars. It's funny that you mentioned that. But today, as we're recording this, I'm not sure when you're going to listen, but as you're recording this, that Pantera is on Bring a Trailer. It went up today, and it'll be up there for about a week. So you can check that out. I've also got a Ford GT that's going up there for him next week. And one car that's not up there is a 67 Corvette big block. It's a 427, 435 horse tri-power car. So anybody wants a Corvette, I got the coolest one ever. It's the original Survivor class car. It created the Survivor. It's in the Corvette Hall of Fame. It's the first Survivor Corvette. But to answer your question, that Pantera is fantastic. It's a complete 100-point restoration. Only the second owner, the original guy, was a doctor in New York, owned it for 35-plus years. My buddy got the car, went through it, restored it, and it's amazing. It's got to be the nicest Pantera you're ever going to see. It's a 74 GTS, only 98 of those made. The last year of the Ford DiTomaso partnership. Matching numbers, runs great, drives great. It's just the coolest Pantera out there.
Yeah, and that's, I've been around, I mean, because I'm a fan of Panteras. I've seen a lot, I've researched them a lot, but I got to tell you, this one, like you said, it has got to be the most clean copy of one I think I've ever seen. I mean, this thing is just absolutely gorgeous. I saw that, and I'm just like, it was literally stopped me in my tracks. Like, whoa, what just popped into my feed?
Get your bid in there, Jim. Come on, Bring a Trailer. You get the email. You see them all the time. You're on the Bring a Trailer mailing list. Get your bid in there. Buy yourself a Pantera.
I would absolutely love to have that. Absolutely love to have that. So what else you got going before we let you go? Obviously, I want to know what's running in and out of the shop. You know, I got to ask you that because Adam, he's always wheeling and dealing in cars, and I think you're right in the middle of it. What's on tap for you guys next other than SEMA? But anything new or exciting on the horizon for I guess I don't want to call it shop, the man cave there. What are we calling the compound there?
Yeah, so, I guess a shop. We have a shop there. You've seen the car collection, and then we have a sort of a room in the back, which is kind of our race shop. We've got guys in there working full-time. My Mustang's back there. For me personally, I have a 92 Alfa Romeo Spider that I just went through and fixed everything, replaced everything, brand-new leather, and mechanically it's great. I'm probably going to be selling that soon. That's a fun little, I just drove it last night. Top was down. I only like the top down at night. So top was down at night and it was just a fun little car and zippy around. It's got suspension on it and all kinds of cool stuff. I got a 2001 BMW E46 that it's got a built motor and a supercharger on it. I just upgraded the supercharger to a bigger Vortec, having the new bracket system installed on it right now. So this is an E46 that should probably put down probably somewhere between 450 and 500 horsepower at the tires.
Nice.
And I drive that. In the racing shop, we've got the, we're doing restoration on a Bob Leitzinger, 280, race car. He was a big Datsun racer back in the day. We've got restoration happening on one of Paul Newman's GT1 championship cars. He's got four championships as a driver. We've got, we've basically got three of the four. He's got four championships and a Le Mans win. We've got three of the championship cars and the Le Mans car. And there's 10 Paul Newman cars in that collection. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, we've got a BRE, if you're familiar with BRE, where Bob Sharp and Paul Newman ran the Datsuns on the East Coast. Pete Brock created BRE, Brock Racing Enterprises, on the West Coast. He designed the Shelby Daytona Coupe. He designed the 63 split window Corvette. He's a fantastic guy and a great designer, but he had a handful of Dawsons. So we just picked up pretty much the last BRE Dawson 510 racing car. And now I believe Adam owns four BRE cars. He's the only owner. He owns all of the existing BRE cars in existence except for one car that's in the Nissan Museum. So we have the entire BRE collection of cars. We even have the Hino transporter truck that that Pete Brock used in the 60s to move the roadsters around.
Be safe to say you got a monopoly on the market there.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we do. So we have all the BRE cars. And but that's a big restoration project as well. Oh, and then up north there's another BRE. I'm sorry, not a BRE, another Datsun 510 Trans Am car, believe it or not. It was called a different drummer car. And that car is being restored up at Racecraft in Washington. So that should be done in about a month. We got a nice little mix of cars, Alfa Romeos and BMWs and Mustangs and a buttload of Datsuns.
Yeah. Well, and you still got quite a few of the Lamborghinis as well, right? I know he sold one off recently, correct?
We sold a few. Yeah, we actually sold a few over the years. It's been very confusing, and I apologize to everybody. But Adam had two Lamborghini Muras, two Isleros, and a 400 GT. We sold all of those. But he still has a Lamborghini Miura SV, which we are selling, a 350 GT, which we are selling, and we have a 400 GT 2+2 car, which we are not currently selling. But the Miura, the very famous blue, only blue medium Miura SV ever made, fully restored. It was at Pebble Beach. It was at the San Marino Motor Classic. It was at the Rodeo Drive Concours. Believe it or not, we are going to sell that car and the black 350 GT. And we're just kind of moving the collection toward almost entirely race cars.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's, you know.
We sold five or six Lamborghinis, but we've got three left.
Yeah.
Well, and two of them were for sale.
And I can understand that. I mean, things come and go, and who's to say 5 years from now it's not going to change and you're going to be back into the Lamborghini market in some form or fashion. I understand how this game works.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. We have no idea what's going to happen. But right now our feeling is we've got a bunch of car projects that need restoration, and there's a couple of other race cars we have our eye on, and that requires money. So we bought some really good investment cars over the years, namely those Lamborghinis, and now it's time to just shift that money into some of these projects. You know, we'd really like to get some of these race cars restored and back on the track.
Yeah.
Adam loves driving them. He loves driving those race cars, which makes sense. They're so much fun, and there's so much history, and all the events we go to are fantastic. But I can see why he has such a passion for that.
Yeah, it's always fun to follow you guys on social media and just see what's up next and, follow along with the show and all the progress and things like that. But I appreciate you taking the time, Matt. Give us your details. Where can people listen to you? Where can people find you? And all that good stuff.
Yeah, man. Thanks. So the podcasts we mentioned are at carcastshow.com and shiftandsteer.com. Of course, they're on iTunes. With you up on Podcast One, where our shows are all on the same network. And you can follow me. I'm at Motorator. It's just like it sounds. It's MOTORATOR, Motorator. I'm on all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all at Motorator.
Nice. Well, I appreciate the time, Matt. I'm sure we will see you in a couple of weeks out at SEMA.
Looking forward to it, man.
You want to talk about a car dude, Matt D'Andrea is your guy. Love catching up with Matt D'Andrea. He's out here at the SEMA show just like I am. And you guys are definitely definitely missing something if you're not tuning into CarCast, both the ones with Corolla and Goldberg. Love them. I binge listen to podcasts when I travel and, in the mornings of my commute, things like that. And definitely CarCast is on the top of the list. And, if you like this show and if you like, his show, you're going to love
Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. Each week, Coach Jim Harbaugh is joined by his father, Jack. They talk about family, sports, and, of course, the University of Michigan's football team. Go Wolverines. Well, they say that, not necessarily me. But you get firsthand knowledge from the head coach himself. You don't want to miss out, so listen to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast with Jim and Jack Harbaugh every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And thank you guys for tuning in to Project Action today. A great one there with Matt DeAndrea. And we will be back next week. Don't forget, next week it's AJ Buckley with the TV show SEAL Team. Following week it is WWE legend Tori Wilson on the show. Make sure and go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, and rate and review us. Check me out. It's at JimBeaver15 on social media. And you guys have an amazingly epic week. And we will be back next week again with some more Project Action. And before that, with my show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, who I think guests next week are going to be Steve Torrance, NHRA Top Fuel champ. Alexander Rossi is going to the Baja 1000. And probably Tiffany Stone, my partner in crime sometimes. And who else? We'll throw some wild cards in there. Oh, how about Rob McCracken, the legend of off-road? That is right. It's going to be an epic show next week on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You don't want to miss that one. But thank you, guys. Be safe. As always, game on.